Genesis chapter number 12. Continue where we left off last week with our missions conference soon approaching. I think it's important to start preaching on missions. Genesis chapter number 12 this morning. If you brought your Bible to church, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you brought your Bible. Let's open in a word of prayer and then we'll get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for what you've done for us already. Thank you for the God we know, that's you. Lord, we're so thankful for what you've done for us, and we don't deserve any of it. But God, I pray now, Lord, that you'll just, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off the preaching of your word this morning as we open up this idea of missions, God. And Lord, how important it is. And Lord, thank you for our church that supports missionaries. Lord, thank you that we're able to prayerfully, financially, and spiritually, Lord, support men and women from all around the globe, God, to hear your gospel. Lord, thank you for the ones who are here today, Lord, right in our communities, out of the schools surrounding us, Lord, that need to hear your gospel. Lord, this is our mission field. And Lord, I pray, God, that we don't fail our mission field and we don't fail you. Lord, now just cleanse me of sin. Now empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit this morning, Lord. Allow me to preach with clarity, God, exactly what it is that you want me to preach. Lord, get me out of the way, Lord. You just speak through me. Allow your people to hear from heaven this morning. And Lord, we sure will be thankful for it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Last week we talked about Abram and the call that he had gotten, and we didn't get very far. But if we're Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 through 8, let's read the Bible here. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem and into the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he, and what, church? Don't ever forget how important the altar of the Lord is. There builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded in what, church? Wow. And unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. You know, something, this just came to me. This isn't part of the message. This is a freebie for me and you because the Lord just showed me this. I believe everywhere we go and everything we do, we ought to build an altar unto the Lord and pray about it. You know, what could it possibly hurt? Now, I know there's little things in life that you might say, well, that's not really worth praying about. I mean, like common sense things like, hey, your car's almost out of gas. You better get where? To the gas station? That's common sense, right? We don't need to pray in that. Lord, do you want me to get gas? Use your brain. Pray that he'll get you to the gas station for waiting so long to get gas. Amen? Okay? Little things like that. But, you know, we make decisions all the time and often don't even include God in our decision making. If you're like me, you get caught up in the busyness of life and we got to do this, got to do that, got to do that. And then all of a sudden we got a decision to make and it's like, okay, I'm just going to do it this way. But everywhere we go, everything we do, I think it would behoove us as Christians, men and women, boys and girls of the Lord Jesus Christ, to include God in them. It would be good. I mean, what is it actually going to hurt to ask God to bless what you are doing? Or to ask the Holy Spirit who lives within you to say, God, if this is not what you want me to do, could you reveal it to me? You know, God can do that. Very clearly, see, God's not the author of confusion. We have a Holy Spirit living within us that leads us and guides us into all truth. So if we ask, the Bible says we shall what? Receive, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. If we ask God, God, I'm about to make a big decision in my life. This decision could really affect me prayerfully, spiritually, financially. It could affect a lot of what's going on in my family. God, is this the right thing for me to do? Do you think the Holy Spirit of God's able to answer that prayer for you? Now here's the next thing. Be ready for the right answer because He's going to give it to you. Y'all okay? The Bible says, ask and you shall what? Look, God's not going to lead you into something that's going to get you into trouble. Y'all all right with that? God's never going to lead you down the wrong path. So anytime you're confused, let me help you. It's the wrong path. Why? Because we know God is not the author of what? Our Bible teaches us that. So if we're confused, and listen, if you're confused, it might not necessarily mean that that's the wrong answer. It just means that you need to be patient and wait on some clarity from the God of heaven who's just testing your faith. Be patient. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. But last week we talked about the very strict command that Abraham had, or Abram got from God. He told him to get out of the country. You know, I asked you guys the question, how many of us would be willing if God said very clearly, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I want you to take your wife and your husband and your kids. I want you to leave the country. I want you to leave your mom and dad. I want you to leave your families, leave everything you know, because in the land that I'm sending you to, I have something far greater than you could ever imagine. I wonder how many of us would be willing to step out by faith on a very strict command from God. And by the way, the devil's not going to call someone to a mission field. Y'all okay with that? He ain't doing that. The devil ain't never called nobody to preach the gospel. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, there's a lot of false preachers out there, a lot of false teachers out there, and you need to be aware of those, but I believe a preacher is a called position. A pastor is a called position. A missionary, they're called by God. And God makes no mistakes in who He calls. Amen? He's very strict in His commands because He wants them to understand. Look, there's no confusion about verse number 1. Let's read it together again. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Does that leave Abram with a question? Did God actually say get out of the country? What did He say? Get thee out of thy country. Not only that, if that's not enough clarity, He said, and from thy kindred. Abram, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your kinfolks, your cousins. That's what we call them around here, right? Leave them all. That's pretty strict, isn't it? See, God's not the author of confusion. Did God, you know, you remember back in the garden when Eve was confused and Satan said, did God really say that? God really did say not to eat of the fruit thereof. He never told them not to look at it, did He? He said not to eat it. And He says, oh, well, what God really meant, Eve, was if you eat that fruit, you'll be like Him. You'll have the thought of Him. You'll be able to see as He sees. And see, Eve believed a lie. But God had already said not to eat the fruit, right? It was pretty clear. Pretty strict command, but Eve broke the command. Adam broke the command. And all mankind is cursed because of Adam. Amen? Every single one of us. But a pretty strict command. But not only was it a strict command that God gave Abram, can I say this? This word was a very serious word that came from God to Abram. God told him, I will make of thee a great nation. Can I say this? When God calls us and gives us a word, God will do great and mighty things through us if we allow Him. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, go with me there. This is our family's life verse. Jeremiah 33:3. I love this verse, and you'll see a little later why this is the family verse here. Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says this, call unto me, and I will, what church? Answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How many of you realize and know that God is capable of doing far more than you could ever think or ask? To me, that's pretty, almost like Brother Scott saying you can't imagine eternity. Because really, that's a long time. We really can't fathom just how long eternity is going to be. Forever. That's all we can think about. But thinking about this, I'm thinking in my mind, man, I could call on to God and I could think of a lot of cool things that He could do. But the Bible says, abundantly above and beyond what we could ever ask or even think. We have no idea what God is capable of doing. No idea. We could go around the room right now and I guarantee you every single one of us could tell a miraculous story. Many of us would have our minds blown if we heard what God's done in your life. Some of you have been cured of cancer. That's pretty miraculous. Hopefully all of you, if not many of you, are saved. That's pretty miraculous. Some of you have watched and prayed over sick loved ones and watched God heal them, or if they're saved, God healed them eternally. They're in heaven. That's pretty miraculous. But to think about when God commands us to do something, see, God just doesn't give us a strict command and a serious command to leave us hanging. He gives us a command, but with those commands, if we obey, there are some payments for those things. It's like this. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. If you do that, I'll show you fruit for your labor. But if you don't do that, there'll be no fruit. See, we've got to leave the mentality of it's someone else's responsibility. Folks, I'm just as responsible as you are. And let me let you in on this. You are just responsible as I am to reach lost people for Christ. Well, it's not my job to save them. No, but God has given you the ability to reach into their life and tell them about Jesus and be a difference. You know, how many has ever been encouraged by someone before? You know, even, and you know, sometimes what I really like is when people have no idea that I'm having a bad day, and this is that, you know, great and mighty thing, and that thing that we couldn't even ask or think about. You ever had something happen and you're like, how in the world did that just happen? How did they know that I was having a bad day? How did they know the exact time that I needed that phone call? How in the world did God put me in this store at this time for that cashier to ask me how my day's going and to tell me they're praying for? How in the world do these things happen? Because we have a very big God. And see, the way God works, it's like we learned in Sunday school. God cares about every member of the body. You know, when I'm hurting, God's going to enlighten someone else and say, listen, pastor's hurting. And He might not let you know exactly what's going on, but here's how He has a funny way. You ever had God put something on your heart? You have no idea why? And you're thinking, I need to call that person. Or I need to go visit that person. Or I need to do this. Or I need to do that. And you don't know why. And by the way, I could tell you some sad stories on not listening to the will of God when He does that. You know, there's a lady in Alaska, one of my wife's friends. The Lord put it on her heart that week. We hadn't seen this girl in a couple years. She had gotten in some trouble, and they grew up together in Seward, and the Lord put it on her heart to go see her. And she said, I don't know why, but I need to go find such and such. I said, why? She said, I don't know. But God's telling me to go talk to her and give her the gospel. So we looked her up. She found her. She talked to her. She gave her the gospel. Now this young lady had been supposedly saved at a very young age, but see, this was on a Saturday. That Monday we were leaving to camp. Monday afternoon at camp, less than 48 hours later, that girl got ran over by a tractor trailer on a bicycle and killed. 20-something years old. How in the world was my wife supposed to know that? She wasn't. But you know, 48 hours later, she was questioning, why would God tell me to look her up? And it was such a deep burden too. Like, You ever had that happen where you got to do it? Because God's prompting you. See, God don't mess around with that kind of stuff. God knew that that girl's time was up in less than 48 hours. Miss Crystal had no idea. She had a choice to make. Obey or not. See, when God gives a strict command and a serious command, He expects His children to obey. When you give your children a command, how many of your parents in here? I'm loving Sunday nights right now. Tonight we're going to keep continuing our parenting classes and raising godly children, hopefully, Lord willing, that's what we're doing. But when you give your children a command, how many of you expect them to obey that command? We want them to obey. Well, just as much as we want them to obey, God wants us to obey that much more. Because see, here's the thing. It's all a spiritual level with God. Every single thing is a spiritual level with God. Here, we say, hey, don't play in the fire or you might get what? You know, I've been telling Carolina lately, don't walk outside in your bare feet, because she hates shoes, and I don't understand it. But she just don't like shoes. And I keep telling her, I'm like, honey, listen, we've been working on the house. There might be some nails down there. You're going to step on one of those nails and it's going to hurt. And then I look over and I'm like, where are your shoes? Well, when she steps on the nail, what's going to happen? It's going to hurt, right? Then she's going to learn a lesson that really mom and dad didn't want her to have to learn that way. Well, you know God's like that. When He tells us to do something, it's like, man, I'm trying to give you a command. I'm trying to be serious with you. This is very strict. I want you to listen. And then we don't listen. And imagine the other side of that story. What if Miss Crystal had not looked her up? What if Miss Crystal had not sought her out? You know what would happen every single day for the rest of her life? She'd be thinking about, why didn't I just obey God? Folks, listen, God is serious with His commands. Very serious. The devil convinces us when God gives us a word that we are not able. And the truth is, in and of ourselves, we're not. But God is able. Don't ever think that God, when God gives you, listen, God surprised me when He called me to preach. I was like, I don't know about that. Like, I wasn't ready for that. It was like, in my mind, I had saw great preachers. I was sitting in a teen camp when I got called to preach. I was 19 years old. And the Lord was working on my heart the whole week. And finally, that last night, God confirmed it. This is what I want you to do. And I'm like, man, I'd love to do that. But I just don't know if you know who you're dealing with. And God's like, well, I created you. You know, I fearfully and wonderfully made you. I formed you. I know how I can use you if you allow me to. Folks, God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. Don't let the devil lie to you. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter number 3 with me. Ephesians chapter number 3 this morning. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, what you think you're not capable of, God is capable. Say this back with me. God is able. God is able. Say it with me. God is able. God is able to do what? Whatever He wants to do. It don't matter if you can see the finished product or not. See, we're like the Jews sometimes. We're always looking for signs and wonders. You ever think about that? Read your Bible, how often, even in over in the New Testament, the disciples would have to often show signs and wonders. Why? Because the Jews just didn't believe. We need to stop looking. Listen, we, the just, shall live by faith, not by sight. If God said it, listen, you can believe it. It's going to happen whether you do or not. The just shall live by faith. Ephesians 20 or 3 and verse 20, the Bible says this. Now unto Him that is able, here it is, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what, church? Wow. According to the power that worketh in us. Now what is that power? That's that Holy Ghost power that's within us, right? Verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Listen, understand, God is able even when you think He is not. God is able when you think He's called you to do something and you know it's Him. Listen, don't say, God, I'm not able to do that. No, 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 no. I can do all things, right? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, it's going to take some faith and some prayer sometimes to step out and get it. Listen, God didn't call everybody to be comfortable. Everybody all right with that? He just didn't. You know, call some of your missionaries sometime and ask them how comfortable it is when the gangs are standing outside their church threatening to kill them for preaching the gospel. I mean, we're supporting them prayerfully and financially. That's good. But I don't see that here in Red Level. There ain't nobody out here threatening to kill us. Are they? Hey, go visit the country of Haiti right now and try to be a Christian. You won't last 24 hours if they catch you. But there's missionaries down there with their wives and children who God has called there. Why? Because they're living by faith, not by sight. It's like a preacher said a couple of weeks ago. He flipped a coin. He said, heads I win, tails I win. Guess what? If you're saved, you win. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Gain what? Heaven. Heads I win, tails I win. Right? Folks, we're not losing. No matter what happens. Absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. That's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. You say, how serious is this word? Well, I told you Jeremiah 33:3 was my wife's grandpa's. He claimed that verse. Now, he was a 29-year-old alcoholic, married with three boys. Just wasn't a good dude. When people heard the name Big Jake, they ran to the other side of the road. He was mean. Mean as a snake. But then he met Jesus. He got saved. And let me help you here. He got rid of the alcohol. Amen. He got rid of the language. He got rid of the sin in his life. Hey, and when you got saved, you got just as much Jesus as he did. But he claimed that verse, and you say, well, what's so serious about it? Well, it started off with one man, first generation Christian. And then he had three boys. Guess what all three of his boys do today? They preach. Then he had four grandkids who are preachers. At least four great-grandkids called to preach. Can I say this? God is good to bless us, is He not? It started with one drunk who decided he was going to say yes to God. And you think, well, that's just one story. Yeah, but it didn't have to be that way. He could have said no. And I doubt there'd been three preacher boys. I doubt there'd been four grandkids pastoring churches across America. I mean, literally north, south, east, and west. They're everywhere. And more great-grandkids called to preach. None of that would have ever happened if one great-grandpa wouldn't have said yes to God. None of that would have ever happened if one grandpa wouldn't have said yes to God. None of that would have ever happened if one husband wouldn't have said yes to God. You say, Brother Drew, you think God could do that with my family? No, I know He could. I absolutely know He can. Because He's done it with mine. And I'll tell you, I would love nothing more than to see four more preacher boys out of my home pastoring all across America or traveling across the world preaching the gospel to every creature till Jesus comes back. That's what I'd like to see. I don't care about fortune and fame. I really don't. You know what I care about? Heaven. And for every soul that's saved, guess what? That's just another mark for us. Just another mark for us. For every young man that says, I'm going away from the world and I'm going with Jesus, that's another mark for us. That's another mark. It all started with a 29-year-old drunk who answered God's call. God saved and started doing exactly what God told him to do. He started doing exactly what God told him to do. See, look, getting saved is not where it stops. That's where it starts. Amen? It starts there. It doesn't stop with salvation. Then comes baptism. Then you need to be discipled. Then you need to join a local church. I said, join a local church. Get involved in your local church. Find a purpose to stay. You know why people don't last in church? And look, I'm not bashing people this morning. I'm just trying to help us. People don't last because they don't get involved. People that are involved have a purpose, and they're going to last. They will. I've seen it far too many times. People get saved, join the church, and don't do nothing except go to church. Get involved in your local church somewhere. Find something you can do. Had he not answered that call and their family been in the ministry, I can't help but think of the hundreds of souls that have been saved over the last 40 years from multiple preachers who have been able to reach out, all because of one man being obedient and taking God's word serious. And by the way, all those generations of preachers I just told you about are just the ones in the family. There are probably dozens across this country right now, pastors this morning standing in pulpits because of Jake Sinareski and his influence that he had in those lives of those young men growing up. And his obedience to God. God called them. He took them under his wing. He discipled them. He taught them. They said, man, if God can do that with Big Jake, they can do it with me. You know, I asked the question last week, what are we leaving behind? I can't help but think of the smile on his face this morning in heaven as he looks down and sees his boys preaching this morning and his grandkids and his great-grandkids who have committed to the ministry. You know, that put a smile on my face, Brother Scott. That's amazing to think about. What is it that we are leaving for our generation? Are we just trying to leave carnal stuff, fleshly stuff? Are we trying to make a mark for eternity and put a dent in the work that the devil is doing every day? Can I say this? The word of the Lord is serious. And lastly, this morning, God's word is strict. God's word is serious. But can I say this? God's word is so sincere. God's word is so sincere. God always rewards those who are faithful. You know that? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also what? Hey, you sow good fruit, you're going to reap what? Good fruit. You sow bad fruit, what are you going to reap? Bad fruit. God always rewards those who are faithful. I look around, I see children who have been saved in our church. How many know that's a blessing? I see many young people and even elders who have been saved in our church. That's a blessing. In just the last year and a half that I've had the privilege of being here, we've seen many souls saved, many young people and old baptized, many people, families is what I like to see, families in church together, joining the church, coming to church, being involved. What we've seen is blessings that we could never imagine. What we're seeing is God doing great and mighty things which we know not. Why? Because we're calling unto Him. And He's answering our prayers. But I'd like to think that He's not done with New Hope Independent Baptist Church. Folks, He's just getting started. It's very important to never, ever, ever be complacent. Don't get comfortable. Don't get lax. Don't get weary in your well-doing. Hey, there'll come times where we'll be on cloud nine and then there'll come times where we'll have a down week or two. But that's okay. God's not changing. Amen? God is not changing. He's the same today, yesterday, and how long? Forever. Blessings unimaginable. God is sincere about His Word and is always ready to bless the faithful. As the piano player comes this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed.